Welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity. A question that we get asked here at Twiniversity time and time again is, how do I know that my twin's car seat is installed correctly? Well, if your twins are getting ready to move up to a convertible seat, then look no further than the Britax ClickTight for easy installation the first time, every time. The Britax ClickTight installation system makes safe car seat installation as simple as buckling a seatbelt so that everyone can install with real confidence in just a few easy steps. You just open the buckle and close. That's it. So stop worrying if you're doing it right and feel confident that every single time you do it, it's right with a Britax ClickTight. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of our Twiniversity podcast. Like I start every single podcast, today is going to be one of my all-time favorite podcasts. I say this every single time. And it really is because I do. Like, everyone is specifically chosen. It's not like we're like I have an email box full of people that are like, we want to do podcasts. I think I want to cover this topic. Who do I want to cover this topic with? And then I message the person in my life that I think would be best at this topic. So today's topic is we are going to talk about moving. So many people find out that once they hear that second heartbeat in utero, they're like, oh my gosh, I have to get out of this apartment. I have to get out of this house. I have to do something. And then you might realize this might be a little bit more than you can bite off at this point, especially if you're pregnant. So I was like, okay, let's talk today about moving and what do we do? So I said, who do I know that has moved around quite a bit of time? So, you know, I go into my Rolodex. I like that my twins asked me the other day what a Rolodex was, and I had to describe it to them, and I even drew them a little picture. But I know my friend Jen from high school. So Jen Shashati is somebody that I have watched, thanks to social media, pop all around this country. This kid is like literally moving from coast to coast to coast. So today we are speaking with one fancy Miss Jennifer Shashati. She is the chief operations officer to two tweenage boys, 6-year-old boy-girl twins, and her 40-ish active duty military aviator or naval aviator husband. She's also the financial manager and facilities director for the household, and she's also the morale, welfare, and recreation officer, which is MWR officer for our military peeps out there, for friends, family, and anyone she meets along the way. You, if you're looking for Jen, you'll find her literally doing 8 million things at a baseball park, a swimming pool, soccer field, basketball court, dance recital, volunteering at school, Girl Scout meeting, grabbing Starbucks, and of course supporting her local area breweries and wineries, because she really is all about the people and community. Jen also, because she doesn't feel like she has enough to do. So you could find her running an occasional 5K half marathon or a Ragnar, which I just learned what that was. And she really is somebody who always puts her family first while maintaining a clean and happy home. God bless you, man, because I'm living in a hot mess. And a tightly packed schedule. And some of her sanity, almost half of the time, is done doing that. And then, of course, well, there's laundry. And that's a whole other story. Now, this is definitely one of my favorite bios that has ever been written. But Jen, welcome to our Twiniversity podcast.
Hi, Natalie.
Oh my God. It's a pleasure
to be here. It was so awesome for you to ask me to do this.
Oh, listen, I literally have watched you move all over the place in that time. So now Jen and I went to high school together, and we went to a smallish high school. I wouldn't say it was small. It's not like it was like some fancy private school with two kids in a class. We had a few hundred girls in our class. But what was so cool is that because we did not have 18 million people in a school, because there's a lot of high schools that have, you know, a graduating class of 1,200 people. Ours, Jen, what did we have? Like 120? I don't really know. Do you remember?
So I don't even think we had 120. I think we may have just made about 100. So I don't think that school's more than 450 or 400. I mean, it might be different now, but I think we were just pretty close to that 100 mark.
It's quite crazy. And I still speak to a lot of people from school. Do you?
I do. And I love keeping in touch with everyone. And just when we had our 20-year reunion, I just felt like everyone picked up right where they left off. And everyone looks the same. And everyone still comments and is part of social media with each other. It's pretty amazing.
It really is. And because of Facebook and Instagram and now my all-time favorite Snapchat, just saying, it is, I really do love that I could know where everybody is. And although I may not reach out like every 10 seconds, I definitely feel comfort knowing that everybody's okay. And so like the people I speak to most, right? So like all my twin mamas, I find out where you guys are. And there's a few of us in our class.
Yes.
And my sister has actually become really good friends with Kat. So Katiana, like my sister sees her all the time. And she has twins too. So it's hysterical now that my sister sees people from our high school more than I do. She goes out with them. So there is this wonderful group of mamas and women that I grew up with. And so today I was thinking about different topics that I wanted to cover. And I really do want to talk about moving. So Jen, you've been literally from coast to coast. Right now you're in DC, but you were up in Washington. You were also in Colorado. Where else were you?
So I moved from Brooklyn, New York, obviously, to Washington State. From Washington State, we moved to California. We were in California for a couple of years. Then we moved back up to Washington State. Then we moved cross country to Newport, Rhode Island. And then we actually went to Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs, we went back to Washington State. And then from Washington State, we're now here in the D.C. area. We're in Northern Virginia.
And how many years is this? Like, what's the total of all these moves?
13.
13 years.
So in 13 years, it's 6 moves.
Wow. So now, as somebody who I would definitely say is a professional mover, what are some of the things that when you find out that people are like, oh yeah, we're going to buy a house. And this is really for like your friends and family, because clearly it's got to be different for military families, right? Like do you move from base to base? Have you always lived in a house? Like how does that gone?
So we have always lived in a house. My husband and I were both very established before we got married. So when I married him, he had already owned a home.
Okay.
We have never lived on base. We've always, so we can probably buy and sell houses with our eyes closed. And it's a super, not easy always, because the paperwork. But so we usually buy most of the time wherever we are moving. But we never live on base. Okay. We usually live outside of base because we like the separation. Mm-hmm. When he's working, and when he's home, he's home. Which doesn't negate any of the social activities or the camaraderie or anything like that. It just separates us from work and family life.
Okay.
Which is where we find our balance. So we have never lived on base.
Okay.
But most of our houses, as crazy as it sounds, we have bought or rented. We have rented once or twice, have been sight unseen.
Wow.
And we have made big purchases sight unseen before, too.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. So sight unseen, you buy these houses, you go to like Zillow and you're like, let's find this house. And do you have a realtor that you've been working with the whole time, or you're doing this on your own and then using the local realtor?
So this is where military women and families have an abundance of resources. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like a lot of these families don't utilize those resources as much as they should. They have like MWR, like I mentioned in that profile. They have everything. So they have websites that you can go to. There's a website that we use regularly, and it's called Military by Owner. And it's usually military people who live this nomadic life that want to rent their home. And most of the time when your husband in the military, when your husband establishes himself in one place, usually he goes out and comes back.
Okay.
So normally you'll keep a house and then you'll go off somewhere and you know you're going to be gone for 2 to 3 years. And there's that 50-50 possibility that you're going to come back to that home.
Okay.
So then you want to put, you don't want to rent it to just anybody. You're going to rent it to another military family who you know is in the same situation.
Wow.
So you go on these military by owners and it'll let you know, like, leaving for 2 years on orders, and then you're like, oh, look at this. This marries up to my time frame.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of families that do that. Huh. And there are websites. So it's military by owner. Some people, you can actually get those vacation rentals.
Yes.
So some people also only have 6 month orders for like a course or a class or something like that. And when we moved to Newport, Rhode Island, we were only going for 10 months.
Okay.
And a lot of leases, they want you to be there for a year.
Yeah.
And when we moved to Newport, Rhode Island, my husband had just finished a 7 month deployment. And in my mind, there's no reason for us to be separated for 2 months because of a lease.
Yeah.
And we went to vacation rental by owner, said, this is our story, this is our situation. And we were able to get that for 10 months because most people want the full leasing.
Wow. So even if somebody was going, like, let's say you found out that you were having twins, and whether you were in the military or not, let's say your mom lived out of state and you wanted to go closer to her. That's an opportunity. Right. That's really genius, Jen.
Absolutely. Yes. All of that is an option. And then something as simple as we had friends and we've never, when our twins were born, we relied on our Navy family. Because we know, like, my sister came out for a few days, and you try to make it work, but most of the time you rely on your Navy family. But we had friends that actually did a vacation rental for their parents for a month so that they had their space and they were able to manage that transition with and without them as if they lived close, but they didn't.
Genius.
So they did a vacation rental for a month, which always works. And those vacation rentals are everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Oh, no. That's a brilliant. I love this idea, Jen. I'm stealing it. I'm putting this in classes. I like this. All right. So now.
Put it in.
We know that you could move like nobody's business. You're like, what? I need 4 hours to pack up this house. That's it.
Right.
That's the minimum. So what are the tips that you would give somebody when moving, or maybe they're moving for the first time? Like, when you made that move for the very first time, how different is it than moving with all of your kids now?
So it is different. It's significantly different because you have to consider each individual's likes, dislikes, their feelings, their emotions. You consider all of those things, but as you're considering them, you have to make it fun for them. You let them see pictures of this house that you're going to move into, and you let them pick out which room they think is going to be theirs, and you let them pick color of paint if they want. You give them a bag and you let them take what they, whatever they can fit in that bag is what we can take across the country with us as opposed to the movers taking. And you just make it fun. And then most of the time when you get to that house, they're excited because they all have their own air mattresses. It's hilarious. they all have their own air mattresses. And when they get to that house, they set up their air mattress, they grab their bag of stuff that they brought from their own room, and they make that room their own. And the things that kids love to do, I mean, they love movie nights, they love to have pizza nights, they love to do all of that stuff. So now while you're in this empty house waiting for all of your stuff to come, you let them stay up late. You let them do what they feel like. You let them do what they want. And then that transition is now a fun thing.
I want to move now, Jen. I want a movie and pizza night. I'll sleep on an arrow bed. I don't mind. I like that idea.
And it's like camping in your new home. And they, and this is where we are those parents where when the house is empty, we buy all the softballs, all of the cushion footballs, because our kids are all super sport kids. And that's when they can play ball in the house. We bring the knee hockey. We have the short hockey sticks. And they can get away with all that stuff in an empty house. So we make it an indoor fun thing for them.
Jen, you're the best mama ever.
Oh, thanks.
Oh,
and we
that.
Always make sure, we always make sure that the basketball hoop is the last thing to go in the truck.
Okay.
So it's the first thing to come out.
Oh.
And they have something to do and they're out of everyone's way while boxes are coming in.
I'm thinking that you, did you learn that the hard way or did somebody tell you to do that?
So we actually learned it the hard way. And all of these are life lessons, right? Just
Absolutely.
Pretty much everything that we do are life lessons. And that is one thing that we did learn. But it just makes sense.
Oh, totally. It totally, yeah. Because they could be outside. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Right. And this is how they've all made friends too. So now the cool kids who just moved down the block, they pull out their basketball hoop and your kids are outside playing and the neighbors start gravitating over, and then it's kind of, it's new home. It's where you belong.
I love it. Now, how much stuff, how do you manage the stuff? All right. So clearly you have your furniture, but what do you do with like memories and your wedding album? Like, how do you choose what's going with you? How do you pack it? Like, do you pack per, like, I know a lot of people pack per room, right? So they pack the stuff per room, but what about the, like the basement stuff or the saving stuff? Like when you're packing your house, what's the first thing that you do?
So we have, and it's kind of funny, if you need a picture, I can send it to you. We actually have Tupperwares. We have bins that have our memory photos from 5 years of dating. We have our all the kids' pictures, photo wedding albums. We have all of mementos, like from Terry's parents, my parents, all of that kind of stuff that are in these bins. And every time we move, each moving company adds an extra layer of tape. So you can tell how many times we moved because it has a sticker for each time we moved and another layer of tape because we never go into them. And when we do move, we've never done an international move before. So we have always packed up one car with those belongings. We have never put those on a moving truck.
Okay.
So we take those things, and I kid you not, every single time that moving truck pulls away with our life, which is our life, it's clothes and furniture and all those things. But all of those things you have to keep in mind can be replaced, except the stuff that you put into your car. And every time that truck pulls away, I always say to myself, I hope that truck doesn't go into an accident. It doesn't go on fire. Like, you think of your whole life driving away.
Yes.
And at the same time, you look around, you put life into perspective, and you're like, okay, I have my children. I have our mementos. It's time to go. And we just pick up and leave. Yeah.
Unbelievable. How long does it take you to get everything packed up?
So the Navy actually comes in. It takes 2 days to pack the house.
Okay.
But and it's a whirlwind. They come in and they do go room by room. There's a lot that I've learned. There's a lot of ways that each moving company likes to do things.
Okay.
But then I've learned a lot from the way they do those things. And I've learned that I fold everything neatly in the drawer. You tape the heck out of the drawer and you put the drawer back.
Huh.
Clothes aren't that heavy.
Yeah.
Because it's less boxes, takes up less space.
Okay.
And the last thing you ever want are your things in two separate trucks. So now you're utilizing space. You're utilizing less unpacking. Then when the dresser comes in and it's all taped up and they wrap up the furniture, so those drawers aren't coming out. And then as soon as that dresser goes into a room, my kids have clothes. It's not looking for the box. It's not trying to figure out who belongs to what and what room it goes to. And, you know, I'm looking for Christopher's stuff and I find it in Ellie's room.
Yeah.
It just becomes a disaster. So there's certain things that you learn from move to move.
Okay.
And there's certain things that they require, but you can also sign off and say, no, I want this instead.
Okay. Like what? Like what are some things that they require? Now, Jen, remember, I have never moved. Do you know that?
I
don't even know what I would do if I had to move. I actually don't think it would be too tough because we don't have a lot of stuff. So one of the things about living in a tiny New York City apartment is I really don't have a lot. So I probably could definitely pack up in 2 days without a problem, but still I'm fascinated. Just like putting the clothes in the dresser, I would have never even thought about that. I would have just been like, yeah, I have to take the stuff out and put it in boxes. Like, I want to know those moving tips because that's the stuff that you know that we don't.
Right. So I always left clothes in drawers, and what they do is they put paper on top of those clothes. They tape it up around the drawer and put the drawer back in.
Okay.
And it's perfect. It only adds another 10 pounds to an already not terribly heavy dresser.
Okay.
And the other thing is we know we're military, so we don't buy super expensive stuff either. It's decent and it's nice. But that's one thing that we definitely do. I take, when we do move, I pack towels, sheets, one set for everyone in a box, and we bring that ourselves.
Okay.
Because you know when that stuff comes on the other end, it's been in a moving truck, it's just not clean or anything like that. So we do that. That's definitely for sure. We set up a room. So we will clear out one room, and it will be like the do not pack room. And that's where all the towels and sheets will be. That's where all the things, Tylenol, medication, computer chargers, phone chargers, because when those moving companies come in, they will pack your trash.
Okay. Wow.
They pack everything. So you got to be careful. They're not going to say, oh, these are car keys. I shouldn't have these. you know, maybe I should leave these out. They're going to pack it.
Wow.
So you designate a room where you can actually close a door, and that's a no pack zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all of your stuff. You pack like you're going on the trip.
Okay.
And you put it all in the no pack zone.
Okay. And so even the kids with their bags, that goes into that room. Okay.
Yep. The bag that you let the kids pack their own bag, and then I pack their clothes for the week, 2 weeks, however long we know our stuff's going to be. Because when we moved to California, we knew it was only going to be about 10 days without stuff.
Okay.
So then we plan, you know, certain clothes and certain things, and that all goes in the room. And that morning that the moving company is coming, that do not pack room is packed as if we are walking out of the house.
Okay. And what do you ever have stuff like, do you have a list of things that you're like, we never pack this? This is things we always buy new with a new house.
Yes. Curtains.
Curtains.
Curtains is the biggest thing. I have two huge bins of curtains because every house we move into, they never fit. And it's always something different. You know, it's curtains is one of the bigger things. Because like I said, so we lived in one, when we lived in Newport, Rhode Island, we had these huge windows and these huge doors. And I'm like, okay, we're not using any of these curtains. And then they get put away. And then we move into this other house that has these small panel windows in the kitchen. And the curtains that I have are too short, or they're too long. They're not long enough. They're not wide enough. And you just keep throwing them in. And then each house becomes different too. You know, when you're living in Newport, you don't need curtains. But when you're in Colorado, you need the blackout curtains because daylight is forever over there. And it's the sun shining all the time. So now you need blackout curtains. But then when you move to Washington State, where it's dark and gray and it's raining all the time, you don't want blackout curtains. So now the blackout curtains go to the bottom of the bag. So curtains is one thing that drives me crazy about moving all the time, but can make it fun because when you do move, it just adds a fresh new touch and it's a new thing for you, for me anyway. I don't think my kids care, but each time we move, and then when they change color of their room, sometimes you have to match it. And my daughter's pink curtains don't currently match her purple room that she has now. So it just becomes, curtains is the biggest thing. And I bet you a lot of military moms, military wives will tell you the same thing.
Yeah, well, that makes total sense. Just even the size. I can't even imagine. Yeah, that's hysterical. I would have never thought about that. I'm glad I asked that question. So that's something you always get new when you move from place to place. And have you reused your curtains ever? Like the ones that are in the bin?
It's pretty rare. And my husband keeps asking me, when am I just going to get rid of them?
Yeah.
And the answer is, I don't know.
You're not ready.
I'm just not ready. I just feel like each one is a memory of each house we've ever been in. Cause that's one of the only things we've never really used again.
I love that. It tells the story. Mm-hmm. You have a box that tells the story. Now, what
it
about
does.
Like your stuff? Like clearly like your hair stuff and your makeup, like that's going in the do not move room. But how do you determine what you're going to, like, is it literally like I'm going away for the weekend and this is what I'm packing? Or do you have anything else that you're like, I can't pack this. Even if the kids say to pack it, I can't pack it for me. I can't pack it for the hubs. I can't pack it for the kids. Do you have any, like, absolutely besides the mementos of things that go in the car?
So it all depends. I mean, if we have room for it, and it depends who's driving and it depends how many kids are. So when we moved from Colorado to Washington State, it was a 2-day trip and it was simple and it was easy. And we had four kids, two dogs, two cars. We both drove separate. So then we had more room.
Okay.
And we were able to determine those things. But usually when we go, we pack and we try to do the bare necessities, and we try to give the kids as much opportunity to take whatever they want and need, as opposed to Terry and I. So Terry always has his uniforms, and his uniforms take up probably a quarter of his car most of the time anyway, because he needs those on the other end as soon as we get there.
Yeah.
So it's usually set up mostly for the kids. And it's usually, the nice thing is we usually do their favorite pillows and their blankets. All that stuff goes in the car with them.
Okay.
So when we do hotel stays or anything like that, it's theirs. It's familiar. They're not waking up in the middle of the night in, you know, starched white sheets from the hotel or anything. They have their snuggly blankets and stuff. And that stuff takes up a lot of room when you have four kids.
Yes.
And then you're traveling with the dogs and the dog beds and all of those things. And all of those things come with us.
Oh, gotcha. So that's a lot of stuff, man. Good. But but you need it. It's a need. It's not even like a want.
Right.
Like the dogs need it just as much as the kids, because it's really weird for them too. They're probably super freaked out.
Right. Yeah. And in a hotel room, they'll spin circles. And if you bring their bed, that's where they'll go and they'll be fine.
They know their home. Now, when you were moving when they were super little and you had like the cribs, did you have any moving at that time when they were super tiny?
So we actually, we moved to Colorado when I was 24 weeks pregnant.
Oof.
And after our second child, we weren't having any more children. So we got rid of everything. So moving to Colorado was light because we were getting rid of stuff as we went along. But then when we officially got to Colorado, that's when we got the two cribs and the pack and plays. And we knew enough, because we already had two children, that we don't need everything. We bought stuff as we went along and as we thought we needed them. But we did move when the twins were 16 months old.
Yikes.
So at 16 months old, in my mind, we normally like to try to potty train our children at little after two. We like to start that process. And when you potty train, you kind of can't really leave them in a crib in case they have to get up to go. So we made this conscious, crazy decision that we're getting rid of cribs at 16 months. So we got rid of it all. We actually paid it forward, because it was given to us by all of our family. We paid it forward to another military family who weren't as fortunate as us. So we gave them the bucket seats. We gave them the bases. We gave them cribs. We gave them everything. And we had the mini pack and plays. Mm-hmm. We got rid of everything because we're like, okay, if we're going to transition from one state to another, we're going to transition everything.
Gotcha.
So that's what we did. So we got rid of everything. And then when we got to Washington State, we ordered their beds.
Okay.
So that was the exciting thing. They got to open up this huge box, and it was their new beds and their new bedding. And they're 16 months old. They don't know that much.
Yeah.
But then the nice thing about kids that young and transitioning, they don't know that they could get out of that bed.
So they just stayed.
They would stay in that bed and they would yell for you to come in and get them.
I love it.
Which is funny, because when you wait for the kids, and all of our friends are like, oh, they're climbing out and jumping out of their crib. And I'm like, we never had that problem. Because when Christopher was a baby, Christopher was 18 months old when Nick was born, and I wasn't buying a second crib for 6 months. It just didn't make sense. So poor Christopher was booted from his crib at 18 months. And then Nicholas, we moved from Washington State, from California back up to Washington State. And same thing. He was, I think he was about 17, 18 months, around the same age, that he got booted from his crib then too.
That's
so
hysterical.
It just becomes, when you transition one thing, transition everything.
Just do it. Just rip off the
Band-Aid. Just do it. That's right. And if you're going to do that, you might as well go with the, so we did that with Christopher when we moved from California to Washington. Now, both of them are in beds and the two of them were going to share a room. We're like, okay, Christopher, here we go. We're going to potty train at the same time. So if you're going to transition, we just did everything all at once. So it's not one thing associated with the other. It's all one thing. We moved. period, end of story. You're getting a new bed, you're wearing underwear, you're going to do this. And it just becomes, and then you make it fun. And if you're going to have to deal with crazy, you might as well just keep going.
Yes, it's true.
And get it all over with. Yeah. And it's not, you know, when you try to do one thing at a time, it's like, well, we got to bring the crib. Then you put them in the crib. Now you're transitioning from crib to bed. And yes. Now you're crazy for an entire year for no reason. When you can get it out of the way yes. all in a month and a half.
Just do it.
That's
just
it. Just do it.
Freaking do it.
That's right.
I love it. I always say that being a parent makes me feel like a used salesman, like a car salesman, because it really is. You have to just sell it to the kids, right?
Right.
So you use the wonderful term of you make it fun. I use it as a how am I going to get them in this crib today, right? Like, what can I do mm-hmm. to get you into this toddler bed today? So everything does have to become a game and everything does have right. to be fun. And Jen, like, that is such like a hidden key that people don't realize. They're always so serious right. and it has to be done this way and we're going to read a book. And I always say, like, my book, I wrote my book so people could read it on the toilet. Because I don't want anybody sitting there and being like, chapter one. No, just freaking read what you need to read and move along with your day. And let's just right. do this. Go to the index, pick it up in 6 months. I don't care. I'm not the author that's like, no, you didn't read that. It's my life's novel. It's nothing. You read it on the toilet and you go and you figure out, you take the information that's given to you and you apply it to your own life. But you have to. Even the book,
right.
I mean, there's so much fun in the book. And even like the chapter that I wrote about marriage, I titled it Batman and Chocolate Milk. Because there right. has to be an element of fun. If I'm sneaking away with my husband for 2 seconds, that's what it was. They never got chocolate milk. They never watched Batman. So I'd put mm-hmm. on Batman and chocolate milk. And I just need like 4 minutes, Jen. I really,
right.
I don't need that long. I'm a simple girl. Please, let's yeah, just get
see,
this done.
Every second counts, you know?
Amen, sister girl. So now.
Right. You have to desensitize them to certain things and then they're going to love it. We do the same thing with Kindles and TV and we do the same thing. Same thing. I'm with you, girl.
That's it. That's how we roll, John, in our school. We learn mm-hmm. we learn young. All right, kids. Now,
that's right.
I have another question. Like everybody, I'm a big advocate of baby proofing, right? We have mm-hmm. had quite a few accidents at Twiniversity that have been pretty bad with people not doing things. When you're moving from place to place, and I'm not saying mm-hmm. that you should be negligent, but what are like the things that you most look out for? Like, are you like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, I could be vigilant all the time, or there's like, oh no, we always do these things, especially when they were little.
Absolutely. So when they were really little, when we were moving, baby gates are my favorite way of doing things. I just don't feel like a child should have free rein anyway.
Yeah.
I was never a big fan of and there are times we got that little octagon
yes.
fence thing, but sometimes you need to do that for the safety of your children, because when you know you're going to turn your back or you are going to run outside and you do need to go and grab the mail or do something, it only takes a hot second for them to get in trouble. And yeah. we all know this.
Absolutely.
So the first thing we always do is baby gates, and we limit the places they go. Okay. And most of the time, wherever we are, we've usually had, there was one house we didn't have stairs, but we would always limit the places they can and shouldn't be.
Okay.
And they would know that. And then the biggest thing that we always did travel with us is when it comes to doorknobs.
Okay.
Doorknobs are the biggest thing, because if the door's closed, they don't have access to certain things. Mm-hmm. But that was one of our biggest things. And safety, when it comes to car seats, that was never an option. It was always in the car seat the way it's supposed to be, and it will be, you know, usually the local fire department would come in and do it, but I used to do it at the children's hospital, so I know the way a car seat belongs, and I know that the way they're supposed to be. And there would actually be times when we're moving, if I didn't have a baby gate or we found ourselves stuck, mm-hmm. that car seat came from the car and it would sit, and that's how I would put them in the car seat to feed them, because
yeah.
you just can't have them roaming around. I was never one of those, you know, kids can graze at a certain age, but then there's a point where they have to be seated when they're eating, choking hazards and all of that other stuff.
Absolutely.
So that car seat would come with us inside hotel rooms sometimes, as long as they're strapped in. And if you're not looking
yeah.
for that 1 second, they're strapped in.
Yes.
Then you're not worrying
yes.
about it. So those things, the doorknobs are big. Gates are a huge thing, especially when you got movers moving furniture back and forth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You always find that one safe place that they can't get out of. And as long as everything in that area mm-hmm. is a good place. So all of our ottomans, we've never had end tables with points. Like they were always the cushioned ones. They were always, you know, and the plug things. Our kids never really bothered with stuff like that. We always covered them. It was never an issue. But then we were also always those parents that when they are in the kitchen with us
yeah.
and you tell them hot and they'll touch that oven, sometimes it's a lesson learned, like, okay, if they burn their hand, they're not going to get a third degree burn from yeah. touching the outside of the oven, but now they're going to learn. And mm-hmm. we were more of trial and error with them, but yeah. we did it with them. We didn't let them roam to do that.
I love it, Jen. You're such a good mommy. You knew you were going to be a good mommy. You just know. I mean, when like the young version of me, did you say she's going to be a good mommy? I always wonder, what did people think?
So I always thought you were going to be a great mom because you were always a wonderful leader. You were always a great friend and you were our student council president and you always knew what was best for everyone. So I always knew you were going to know what was best for your children too.
It's amazing, Jen. Who knew? I didn't know. I had no idea. I had no idea what the hell I was going to do.
I knew. I totally knew.
It's always been good. And now my daughter may be going there. Let's see. I'm crossing my fingers. She got in. Uh-huh. She got into the school. And then they wrote her like a sweet little note. Like, dear Anna, you know, you're a part of our legacy. And we're at like Sister Gail wrote her a really sweet letter.
Oh, wow.
But now she really wants to go to this art school, Jen. It's the worst. I want her to go to our school. And I was talking to Susie and Susie's like, let her go where she wants to go. And for those of you that are listening, this is just a behind the scenes of, cause I'm not editing this out, John. I just keep this in, but
no, you need to.
Susie says I should let her go where she wants to go. I say I should force her where she needs to go because I feel like that high school was one of the best things that's happened to me. I really do. If I have to say, there was a lot that happened, even like travel. I never traveled before I went to high school. I never went, and we never really went anywhere. It was the school that mm-hmm. took me to Europe and stuff. So yeah,
right.
I think about that. I don't know. I'm crazy, Jen.
No, it's not crazy. You want what's best for her. And the reason you are having some reservations is because maybe there's a part of you that knows that an art school is probably what she really wants and is what's really going to help her in her future.
Boo! But
I know. And I hate saying it because I'm telling you, raising a teenager, my almost 13-year-old, nothing is easy. And you want to try to let them make those choices and those decisions. Mm-hmm. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But wait till
you let me know how that turns out yeah. so that thanks, you can Jen. Help me later.
Yeah. Thanks, Jen. I appreciate that. That'll be my next book called How Not to Throw Yourself Off a Bridge When You Have Teenage Twins. That's what it's like.
Oh,
every day is a struggle.
I know this because my twins are only kindergarten right now and I'm already feeling that.
Oh my gosh. Already. I think our next podcast that you and I are going to do is going to be about like not helicopter parenting because I don't think either of us are. Like I would let my kids burn themselves too, by the way, but not scalding. But that's how I roll too.
Right.
And maybe it's the New Yorker in us. Like I mm-hmm. wonder. I don't know. Because we're like, hey, listen. Like my daughter just took the train and she ended up in Brooklyn yesterday. She missed her stop and she called me. She's like, Mom, I'm in Brooklyn. And I'm like, what are you doing in Brooklyn? Where are you? I was panicking. But then I was like, that's how I learned is I ended up right. in Brooklyn and then I found my way back. So I tried not to lose it. I pretended that I was mad, but I really wasn't mad when she came home. It was really because her phone died. That's why I was mad. I wasn't mad that she was in Brooklyn.
Right.
But don't not have communication. But Jen, we didn't have, well, we did kind of have phones. No, or did we? I don't think I had a cell phone in high school.
No, we definitely did not. I think we were at the age of the pager.
Oh, God. Good times. Yes, Jen. You definitely had one. Holla. Jen, remember when we took Driver's Ed together?
Oh, I sure do.
Oh, my gosh.
I sure do.
Could tell a lot of stories about that right there.
Oh, yes.
Good times.
Yes, there's
the,
tons.
The former Jen. Well, Jen, thank you. I can't thank you enough. And, guys, if you need Jen, when you're on Facebook and Instagram?
I am on both, yes. And I'm on both as Jen Shashati.
Okay. So
all one word. And on Instagram is all one word, Jen Shashati. And Facebook is Jen Shashati. You'll see Jen Moylan Shashati, my maiden name in there. But it's
but
on there
if
anybody has any. Yep. It's
okay.
all me.
Okay.
And you'll see they're both military pictures. They're both pictures of the whole family on both.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'll be willing to help with anything.
Okay, and it's S-H-A-S-H-A-T-Y, because I want them to really find you. So if you're currently in the military, maybe you just found out that you're expecting twins, please reach out to Jen. And also, so you know, for all of our active military families and active first responders, all Twiniversity classes are totally free. So our breastfeeding class is offered to you, our online class, our in-person class. So if you are in the military or you are an active first responder, please come as our guest. It is the least thing that Twiniversity could do for you after all that you do for us. So Jen is just really a wealth of information, and I have so many more topics that I want to talk about. Maybe one will just be driver's ed and we'll just have story time. I like to call it just a chat with Nat, and then Jen, it'll be fun. Now my computer's going crazy all of a sudden, and I have no idea what the hell's happening. So anyway, guys, if you need me, you know where to find us. We're just twiniversity.com. Besides our great chat with Jen, we do have other really great kind of memoir stories from other twin moms that are in the military that are moving. You could just go to twiniversity.com, click on the little magnifying glass, and just write in the word moving, and you're going to find some great tips. But Jen, really, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I can't wait for our next time. And now, I've never wanted to move more in my life than I do right now, just because I want to pull out that basketball net and make the twins play and make friends.
I'm telling you, moving makes your children beyond resilient. They're confident. It changes their lives too, because, and not because they're my children, but my children are the ones, whenever we go back to New York and we see family and friends and cousins and everything, mine are the ones that are walking up, introducing themselves, looking someone in the eye, shaking their hand. And they just have this different type of personality because they're thrown to so many different things in life that, you know, they wake up one day, they go to school on Friday, they get on a plane on Saturday, and they're in school on Tuesday in Northern Virginia. You know, no time lost. They just jump right in, and it's just what they know.
I love it, Jen. Well, thank you so, so much, guys. Go stalk Jen. She's wonderful to stalk. And then you never know. She may be moving to your town next, so we will keep you posted. All right, guys.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Natalie. It was awesome.
You got it, Jen. It is my pleasure. All right, guys. That is another great episode of our Twiniversity podcast. I told you it was going to be great. I never lie. I never lie. I've never lied to you once. Why would I start now? So if you need more information, twiniversity.com, and we are just at Twiniversity on all social. If you have any questions, email us at community@twiniversity.com, and we will get back to you ASAP. See you later, alligators.